Across the distance, from the safety of our homes, we have come together today at this time to co-create a sacred community. A community where we are invited to live our lives weaved together by the hope of a covenant that calls us in to restore ourselves from our journeys. A covenant that call to us to be active repairers of the harms we encounter in the world. A covenant that charge us with the generational task of rebuilding a world shaped by justice. Gather in the hope of covenant, let us worship together.
I'm Reverend Bob LaValle, and I'm so delighted to be here with you and with our amazing team, our music director, Susan Peck, Mia Noren, who does the Time for All Ages today, our worship leader, Kristen Satterley, and the tech folks who make it all happen behind the scenes. Our DJ today is Arnie Golarud, and our tech team is Cy Schuster, Jordan Jones, Bill Miller, Chris Paul, and Raymond Wolfgang. And thank you all so much for co-creating this worship with us. And I'm very, very delighted to introduce our guest preacher today, who you just met, Dr. Elias Ortega. Dr. Ortega is the president of Meadville Lombard Theological School, my alumnus, and he's done amazing work. He's committed his life to building organizational systems in which people, especially those who are underrepresented in our society, in which people can thrive. He's done tremendous work within the Unitarian Universalist Association to help us become a more inclusive faith tradition. There's a lot more to know about him, so I highly recommend that after the service, you look him up on the Google and learn more about his work. He's so impressive. Thank you, Dr. Ortega, for joining us. And Kristen has an announcement.
Good morning. Are you missing museums and galleries? If so, you're invited to check out the Member Virtual Art Show hosted on our website. The show contains over 30 pieces submitted by 10 church member artists, including painting, photography, mosaic tile, and mixed media sculpture. This virtual gallery will be available for viewing and purchase until we can use our Social Hall Art Gallery again. 30% of artist sales will be donated to First U, and the link is in the chat.
The word of our lattice lighting chalice today are from Alice Anachika Nesseman, grounding in our faith. If you have a chalice close by that you would like to light, hold it in your hands and bring your intentions. In a time of uncertainty, when everything around us is changing constantly, each day new developments, rising numbers, changing guidelines, when the world we live in suddenly seems upside down and topsy-turvy, we light our chalice to remind ourselves of our grounding in our faith. In the midst of it all, we wrap ourselves in the warm light of a familiar flame, a reminder of the strength that emerges when we come together in community.
Good morning. Will you please join me in singing our opening song? It's written by Carisha Longacre of the wonderful folk duo Ma Muse, and we've sung this before in the sanctuary and online. So I'll sing it through twice so you can jump in on the second time if you don't know it the first time, or just harmonize with me. We shall be known by the company we keep. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle around attendees' fires. We shall well be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle around attendees five. Change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now. What a time to be alive. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead in love.
Thank you.
Miss Anne, would you light the chalice as we say our principles?
Each person is important.
Kind and fair in all you do.
We're free to learn together.
We search for what is true.
All people need a voice.
Build a fair and peaceful world.
We take care of our planet.
We work together for diversity and against racism and oppression.
Thank you, everybody.
Good morning. I'm Mia Noren, your Director of Religious Education here at First Unitarian Church. Our theme this month is commitment, and today I'm going to talk to you about our commitment to clean water. Tomorrow, March 22nd, is World Water Day. World Water Day was started by the United Nations in 1992, and its purpose is to focus attention on our planet-wide water crisis. This year's theme is valuing our water. Even though some 75% of the Earth's surface is covered in water, only about 1% of that is fresh water that humans, animals, and plants can use. Did you know that here in New Mexico, we are experiencing drought? That means that even though we live in the desert and expect it to be dry, we haven't had our normal amounts of snow and rain, and that affects our surface water. Too much groundwater is being used up too. Groundwater is fresh water held below ground in an aquifer, below the land that you can see. This current map from the National Drought Mitigation Center shows the lands around our home in New Mexico. We are living in severe, extreme, and exceptional drought. On this map, gold is severe drought, orange is extreme drought, and dark red is exceptional drought. Some ways you may notice this are that dust storms happen frequently. Fire danger is extreme. Wilderness areas may close to the public, and bears may come down to the developed parts of town looking for water and food. Our Unitarian Universalist community honors the seventh principle: respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. The children's version of the seven principles says that we care for our planet Earth, the home we share with all living things. To respect, and to care means that we UUs are committed to working for the benefit of our environment. Our own church community is committed to our environment, and one of the many places you can see that is in the use of native and drought-tolerant plants in our landscape. Native and drought-tolerant plants use less water and still look beautiful and support life. The World Water Day theme this year is valuing water. What does water mean to you? How important is it to your home and family life, to your livelihood, your well-being, your local environment? How important is water to your cultural practices? Some Unitarian Universalist communities celebrate a water communion in August or September as a ritual welcoming members of their congregation back to a new church year. If you are a part of the religious education community in our church, you may have come to worship in the wilderness, held on the banks of the Rio Grande in May. Take some time to share what water means to you in the chat. Later, talk to each other about water, what water means to you. This is how we show what's important and what we care about. We know we can't live without water. What else does water mean to you? What does this have to do with commitment? Committing to action yourself is one way that our children learn about commitment. The water problem is so big. What are some actions that you and your child can take to make a difference each day? What are some ways you and your community can make a difference every day? Here are a few suggestions. Check for leaks in your house's plumbing. They cause some of the highest water waste. I recently fixed a leak I found between the water main and my house, and now my family is using 13,000 less gallons of water per month. Use less water washing cars and other vehicles. Commercial car washes use about the same amount of water that you use to wash a load of clothes. Modern commercial car washes also filter the water that's used, so soap and other detergents don't end up going down the drain. Focus on growing more native and drought-resistant trees and plants. I take inspiration from our church's landscape when looking for plants to add to my own yard. Our church community is a great place to begin working with others to strengthen our commitment to our water, our planet, and our seventh principle. World Water Day tomorrow and Earth Day on April 22nd remind us that every day is a day to care for our home and its future.
We enter now into a moment or a few moments of meditation. And I ask you to sit, relax, stretch your shoulders or your neck a little bit. Take a few deep breaths. And center yourself. As a way of meditation, I want to share with you that for me, the most powerful meditations and moments of restoration are the ones that I'm strangely in action, in movement. I still haven't mastered the art of sitting in stillness, but I've managed to move and relax my mind and be at peace. During this pandemic, there is something that I learned through a moment of deep frustration that I have integrated into my spiritual practice. Early on in the pandemic, some point between late March and late April, I was frustrated with the amount of dishes that my family and I managed to create on a daily basis. It seemed that the string of dirty dishes piling in the sink and in the dishwasher was never ending. And I will admit that often for me it was very, very frustrating to either start my day doing dishes or finish my day doing dishes. They were everywhere. But at one point, I decided to shift that moment and my intention and decided that for golly, I was gonna share a blessing and say a short blessing for every hand that touched every other dish that we were making as a family. And I embraced that practice of blessing the hands that soil that dish. And shortly but surely, my intentions changed. And it became a spiritual moment for me. I cannot say that it was something that I still looked with deep excitement to do, but it was something that I reset my expectations and my intention and transformed something of the everyday, something that happens every day in our lives into a spiritual practice, a practice of blessing my family, but also blessing myself. And as I continued that practice, I also included others, friends, family, leaders, neighbors, first respondents, and other. And surely, but surely, doing the dishes is not anymore a chore, but part of my spiritual practice in which I take a moment to send intentions to others. It is marvelous how we can take everyday acts and transform them into spiritual moments.
In that spirit, we will sit in silence together for 2 minutes.
Each of our lives is wound through with rivulets of joy and worry, currents of gratitude and sorrow. Here in this shared space, in this beloved community, we are buoyed by each other's gladness and help to bear each other's burdens. When the music begins, share your joys and then your concerns in the chat bar for us to hold together. If you cannot write in the chat bar today, we still want to know what's going on with you. Please contact us at caring@uuabq.org. Now, let us share together what is on our hearts.
see each other's joys and concerns. More joys these days, it seems. Joy for vaccines and for healing and for spring and the warm sunshine and the flowers and the animals that come join us. And we lift up Jerry Noble with joy as her healing continues. Joy for family, for people able to hug their grandchildren for the first time in a long, long time. And joy for life moving forward, for new jobs and job interviews. So much to be joyful for. And yet we carry our concerns for those struggling with addiction and mental health in this time of continued isolation. And our concern for those communities that are opening too soon, that are not respecting the COVID science-based guidelines. We concerns for those suffering cognitive decline and struggling in so many ways. All these joys and concerns, plus those joys and concerns held in our hearts, unspoken, but no less deeply felt, all these we lift up to the great powers of healing and celebration and renewal that are known by many names. Join me in the spirit of prayer. We lift up the victims of the hate crime in Atlanta. Soon Chung Park, Young Jung Grant, Suncha Kim, Yang A Yu, Zhao Zhe Tan, Dao Yu Feng. May light perpetual shine upon them, and may the scourge of white terrorism and misogyny be washed from this land. We give thanks for the state leaders who worked to protect our land and people during the most recent legislative session. May their efforts lead to a more just and caring New Mexico. During this month, when our theological theme is commitment, we lift up the words of the late Unitarian Universalist Loretta Williams. She says, "We bearers of the dream affirm that a new vision of hope is emerging. We pledge to work for that community in which justice will be actively present. We affirm that there is still struggle ahead. Yet we know that in the struggle is the hope for the future. We affirm that we are co-creators of the future, not passive pawns. And we stand united in affirmation of our hope and just and vision of a just and inclusive society. We affirm the unity of all persons. We affirm siblinghood, which allows us to touch upon each other's humanity. We affirm a unity that opens our eyes, ears, and hearts to see the different but common forms of oppression, suffering, and pain. Yet we are one in the image of God, and we celebrate our hopes for a human unity. Within ourselves and within the gathered community, we will discover the strength not to hide in an indifference. Affirming that hope, publicly expressed, energizes and enables us to move forward. Together we pledge to transcend barriers, be they racial, political, economic, social or religious. We pledge to make our tomorrows become our todays." Those were the words of Loretta Williams. And may I add, may we all be held in the heart of love. Peace be with you.
Al respirar, respiro paz. Al exhalar, exhalo amor.
When I breathe in, I breathe in peace.
Al respirar, respiro paz. Al exhalar, exhalo amor. Al respirar, respiro paz. Al exhalar, exhalo amor. Al respirar, respirar, respiro paz. Al exhalar, exhalo amor. Al 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 respirar, respiro paz. Al exhalar, exhalo amor.
Our reading this morning is Blessing the Boats by Lucille Clifton. May the tide that is entering even now the lip of our understanding carry you out beyond the face of fear. May you kiss the wind, then turn from it, certain that it will love your back. May you open your eyes to water, water waving forever. And may you, in your innocence, sail through this to that.
We are gathered in worship. We come from our different walks of life, with different experiences. And oftentimes we come here and gather seeking a space of restoration. We are gathered with one singular hope to live out our commitments of making the beloved conversation, sorry, the beloved community, a reality. I want to start my words to you today with a declaration, a faith declaration. And while it is true that in the expansive boundaries of the living tradition, we may be weary of bold statements of faith, it is also true that as a religious movement, we have, in the words of religious educator Maria Harris, fashioned ourselves into a particular kind of people. The ways in which we fashion ourselves as a people is clear in how we worship, in our teachings, in what we proclaim we do, and in ourselves. As Unitarian Universalists, we are weaved by our shared principles. We have fashioned and we refashion ourselves and our communities into the kinds of people that are moved to affirm our inherent worth and dignity. We fashion ourselves into a people that understand ourselves compelled into living lives fiercely invested in the works of justice, in the works of equity, and in compassion. We have fashioned ourselves into the kind of people who share a commitment to promote the acceptance of one another, and more than acceptance, a common purpose, a purpose manifested in our encouragement to delve deeper in and with curiosity into practices and disciplines of religious exploration and spiritual growth. We have furthermore agreed to fashion ourselves into a people that is brave enough to guide our conduct in ways that afford us the freedom to seek for truth and strive for greater knowledge. This is a high-stakes freedom that we gift to one another and is possible only through conscious practice of democratic living. Being fashioned as a people is an ongoing project. We continue in the work of refashioning ourselves to live up to the goal of fostering a world community with peace, with liberty and justice for all our relations, humans, and with the earth at large. This week, we were reminded once again of the long work of justice ahead of us as we confronted and we come face to face with the ingrained misogyny in our society and the deep hate towards non-white bodies as we collectively grieve the murder of 6 Asian American women and 2 other individuals. Our souls should be deeply troubled. And not only troubled by this all too common happening, but also stirred into action to create a world where you are not hated unto death for the skin and body that you move in the world. We continue to chart our way in this living tradition that inspires us to be better for the sake and for the wholeness of the world that we will co-construct, and furthermore, that we will entrust as our inheritance to those who come after us. The world that we create is a world that we will pass to others as the work that we have done. It is because of this long reaching aspiration that we seek to truly fashion a world where justice is the ground of our liberty, and liberty leads to peaceful coexistence. It is because of this that we strive even higher still and consider ourselves accountable to respect the interdependence of all that exists because we are part of it. It is because of how we have fashioned ourselves as a people that I believe in the promise of Unitarian Universalism as a faith that is meaningful for our world today. I believe in Unitarian Universalism as a promise, and I understand it is a promise that can help heal a wounded world. It is a promise that encourages us to do the work to live out our commitments. I think that drinking deeply from our 6 sources of inspiration and living lives that draw nourishment from our shared principles, that we can go a long way in making our faith a beacon into the world. That is to live into our commitments. This promise requires a commitment that we nurture our own liberation by taking our faith with the seriousness it requires. And there is a seriousness that will move us out of any conception to being just a Sunday morning congregational club. Members only, do not inquire within. Our faith asks us to be in a community that is captivated by the beauty of our collective faith journey. It is a faith that asks us to be emboldened to ask deep theological questions and to provide answers to them, the questions that we face as individuals, but also in our collective experiences. This is the work to push us deeper into our roots, deeper into our work, and deeper into living transformational lives for the hope of our world. As a faith community, if we are earnest in the task of working through the theological questions and the answers that we give them, then we can reshape, reframe, and transform how we understand our place and responsibility in our congregations, in our communities, in our homes, to make a world in which we live fully and do so out of a sense of being called into service. This I think, is at the heart of living into our commitments. Many of us Unitarian Universalists have an uneasy relationship with theology, and instead we prefer to put a premium on the work that we do. But oftentimes in so doing, we do not take stock on why do we do the work that we do. So let me say that again. We focus on what we do and how we do it, but we may not be able to speak with clarity about the inspiration that moves us to do that work. And yes, we are an inspired community to do the works of justice. For me, this was the challenge at the heart of the work of the Commission of Institutional Change. Can we call us in to nurture, to cultivate, and to live out of the theological dimensions of how we extend hospitality to others in the ways in which we carry ourselves, our congregations, and our work in the world? And I can say that my answer to that question is a resolute yes. Yes, we can both recognize that our collective spiritual journeys gathers us from different religious paths. And yes, we have gained religious and spiritual depth through these encounters. And yes, we have enlarged our faith home. Some of this path, though, we need to recognize that have been inspiring and nourishing. Other paths, however, have been deeply painful and scaring journeys to too many of us. It is likely that for many of us, the Judeo-Christian tradition was our faith, our first faith home. And it is just as likely that many of us here today have been wounded by aspects of this tradition and others at one point or another in our journey. Because of that, it is really important that we heal our spirits. And this work, it is arduous work, but it is essential work for us to live our lives as fully as we can in the service of others, for others, and with others. To heal, we have to put in the necessary work. Just like any other injury, ignoring tended to it will not only make it worse, but it will also usher in a more arduous journey towards recovery. Whether the culprit was Christianity or another faith tradition, our Unitarian Universalist faith call us to encourage our spiritual growth. We cannot grow in our spiritual lives and faith movement if we approach our sacred work as being UU faith first responders. If we limit the reach of our spiritual community to providing just enough care to stabilize a faith emergency, to patch each other just enough so that we can leave the faith emergency room, we have fallen short of the good news that is Unitarian Universalism. Living into our commitments to the transformative, justice-centric, peace-promoting, life-sustaining faith such as ours demands for us to speak truthfully from the sources that inspire our work. Such a faith, my friends, is a bold faith. It is a faith that, in the words of Reverend Nancy MacDonald Ladd, and I'm paraphrasing here, needs us to articulate a theology that is deep enough to heal as the Odyssey to help us understand how evil, pain, suffering, and even trauma can coexist with the sacred. We need to articulate such theology, and here I quote her, to demonstrate our ability to change in this flawed and broken world. Personally, I say yes to taking seriously, responding to those wounded by religious trauma, and to creating a place of rest and a place of refuge for others and for myself. And beloved, we should say yes to live up to the promise of our faith, to dare to heal and to dare to hold each other accountable to the promises that we make to one another when we come together in covenant. to uphold the worth of dignity of all, to work for the promotion of justice, equity, and compassion in our relationships, to strive for the acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth, to uphold the free and responsible search for truth and meaning, to safeguard the right of conscience and the use of democratic principles within our congregations and our world at large, to nurture the goals of community, peace, liberty, and justice for all, and to respect that interdependent web in which we exist. And as we fashion ourselves as the kind of people that are bold enough to live into the commitments we share in the world, not only in our personal lives, in our congregations, and in the world, we will see and bear the fruits of equity and justice. As I conclude this morning, I want to do so with a few questions. As we try to live into our commitments, what does our faith demand of us? What does our faith demand of you? I will offer a short response to this question myself. Our faith demands that we respond with faithfulness to the task we have committed ourselves to when we declare that Unitarian Universalism is our faith home, that we bear witness to our faithfulness through how we live into our shared commitments and aspirations, and to the liberative hope of the living tradition that grounds us, that we be bold enough in our search for justice, for equity, and compassion to embrace the corporate responsibility of the search for truth in our relationships. Our shared faith calls us into right relationship to what we profess as a community, that we are in search of the beloved community. Faith work is hard and demanding work with the potential to impact our being, our spirit, and intellect. And that is important work that we can do as a people who fashion together by the promise of our faith. And I want to leave you with a blessing from Lucille Clifton. May the tide that is entering even now the lips of our understanding carry you out beyond the face of fear. May you kiss the wind, then turn from it, certain that it will love you back. May you open your eyes to water, water weaving forever. And may you, in your innocence, sail through this to that. May it be so, and let it be.
Thank you. Our Change for the Future recipient for February through April is the American Civil Liberties Union of New Mexico. The ACLU of New Mexico protects and advances justice, liberty, and equity, especially focusing on groups that have been historically disenfranchised. You can make an offering online by clicking on the link that we'll put in the chat box, or you can simply mail a check to the church and include Change for the Future in the memo line. Let us now exercise the enduring power of generosity.
Divisions, I reach out to you. Will you reach out to me? With all of our voices and all of our visions, friends, we could make such sweet harmony.
What is generously given is received with gratitude. Thank you on behalf of First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque, and thank you on behalf of the American Civil Liberties Union of New Mexico. As we come towards the end of our service, everyone is invited to stay after for our virtual coffee hour in breakout rooms. Just stay in the Zoom call until the end of the credits and we'll place you in the rooms. And whether you're staying in the rooms or staying in your house, maybe with your family or friends, I want to offer a discussion question for today, thinking about Dr. Ortega's really amazing words. Question is, as you focus on the how and what of Unitarian Universalist service for the common good, what is your why? I'm putting that in the chat. Oops. As we focus on the how and what of doing service, what is our why?
Beloveds, wherever you are, as our worship has ended, let us be reminded that our work to live into our commitments to bring justice into the world and to move with compassion has only begun. May it be so, and blessed be.